Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
We've been talking all morning about the UK train strikes. 40,000 rail workers are on strike today. It's the latest in a wave of industrial action this month. Members of the Rail, Maritime and Transport Union are going to be joined on the picket lines later in the week by postal workers, bus drivers and nurses. We're joined now by John Leach, RMT Assistant General Secretary. John, thanks so much for making time for us. In talks with the
Good
government
morning.
This week, explain why you didn't settle, but Unite the Union did.
Well, I mean, the reality is on the railways, we are the largest union by many, many thousands of members. And Unite are, by the way, Unite are good friends of ours. They're a fellow trade union, but they represent a very small section of the workforce, and they felt that it's good for them. It's not good for us. We've had a referendum of the members affected in Network Rail. They have voted overwhelmingly on an 83% turnout by 63.6% to reject it. So the members will decide the position of the union on this matter, and they've rejected this massively below inflation pay offer in return for 1,200 job cuts and a load of not acceptable. So we just are very straightforward in this. We put the deal to our members. They voted it down. We don't accept it. And of course, on the other side of this dispute, because there's two parts to it, what we call the train operating companies, they didn't offer the same deal. They offered an inferior deal. And the productivity and the cuts that they wanted in return for a 4% pay rise was beyond the pale. I mean, they wanted every ticket office to close. They wanted new contracts for staff. They wanted guards to be taken off of the trains. And we just can't go near there. So highly provocative, in our opinion,
John,
government led.
John, inflation is real, 11%. The consumer and the cost of living crisis is real as well. What is also real is the transport chaos this is going to cause in the lead up to Christmas. What's also real is the economic damage this is going to cause. I was speaking to the owner of a small business operating out of the train station in Birmingham. He is now actively considering having to lay off members of his team. What is your message to them as they face potential redundancy on the back of this?
Well, our message to them is we don't want that to happen, and
But it's going to happen. It could well happen.
But the solution to this problem lies with the government. The government finance and run the railways in this country, and they have provoked and promoted a dispute with our union that we know they could settle. The management we meet, and I meet them personally at the highest level in this industry, know full well that they're being obstructed from settling the dispute with us by government and political interference. And that's because the government don't want to resolve this dispute. So the shopkeeper on Birmingham Station, coffee shop owner, with the greatest respect to them, and I mean that, we work alongside them, they would be regarded as colleagues at work, shouldn't be faced with this problem. And the cost of living crisis, of course, affects 40,000 RMT members. They have fuel bills to pay. They have to go to the supermarket. They've
John,
got
it
mortgage
does.
Increases.
Of
We're
course
in the
it
same
does.
Boat, all of us.
But we've got people making comparisons to the 1970s all the time. But 50 years ago, half the population were union members. Now it's a quarter of the population. If you don't get a pay deal, people are going to be asking, what's the point of the unions?
Well, I mean, the point of the union is we are able to combine and use our solidarity and our determination to stick together to apply pressure at the table in negotiations. The relevance of trade unions has never been stronger. And in actual fact, you can see it right across the UK economy right now and beyond this country. But I mean, the Royal College of Nursing, the railways, the fire brigades, teaching, the workforce, and it's not all public sector, has had enough. And this comparison with the 1970s is interesting, but we need to talk about here and now. And the here and now is we have got a economic meltdown happening around us, where working people, whatever job they do, and in my case I represent railway people, are absolutely fed up to the back teeth because of the inequality. We see in my own industry, whilst my members haven't had a pay rise for 3 years, we see £500 million a year profit being siphoned up off the top. These are undisputed figures of the train operating companies in dividends and payments to the privately owned train operating companies, who, by the way, will be being paid by the government today, taxpayers' money, whilst we're on strike. They're not out of pocket. You couldn't make this up, frankly. It's disgraceful. John, what we need is a settlement, and we are ready to do that. Because John, here's the other thing. Can I make this point? We've done it in Scotland. We've done it in Wales. We've done it in London Transport. We've cut the deal. We've shook hands on a pay rise. It can be done, but the government don't want to do it.
Well, you do need to get that deal, because public opinion is arguably turning against you. It's a fine line. You have to leverage and use your leverage to extract greater concessions. That's part of your job. But public opinion is important for you in the lead up to Christmas. You could have this all turn against you. There could be a big backlash, John.
There could be. And what I would say to those people that are frustrated by the industrial action that they're seeing is... hear us out on this. Let's examine the facts. I mean, our members have now been taking continuous strike action since the, not every day, but, you know, from time to time. And they're seriously out of pocket too. Don't expect any sympathy for that. But what the public needs to ask itself, and I would, you know, say to them is, what would you expect your union to do when your contract's been potentially ripped to shreds? And we saw that on P&O, where the entire workforce was sacked by email. What would you do if you haven't had a pay rise for 3 years, but your employers are making 500 million quid a year profit? What would you do if wholesale redundancies were being proposed? And at the same time, you know, the government is preventing your employer from negotiating and cutting a deal with us. You'd expect your union to stick up for you. And that's what we're doing. And it's what a union should do.
What a lot of people are doing, especially among our listeners, having turned to working from home during the pandemic, is taking the train less. You're just driving people away from the railway, aren't you?
I don't think we are as a union. I think that the government, I'm sorry to keep going on about them, but they have their wholesale disinterest in the quality of the railway service. It is tangible. You only have to travel on the network on a normal day. For example, on the West Coast Main Line from Glasgow down to London, it is utter chaos day in, day out. TransPennine Express up there in the north of England. And what we need is a complete and utter political commitment to run the railways properly, effectively, and support the staff who work on the railway, which is where I come into it, because we represent them and have done for a long time. Railway men and women are very straightforward people. They commit themselves to this line of work, usually for their entire career. It's a job where people feel part of a workforce community, and they just want to be allowed to get on with it. But you can't live on thin air, and you cannot not have a pay rise for 3 years going into a fourth. And that's why we're still out today, and we will be on strike again if we have to. We don't want to be doing this. Why would we?
But
we,
John, let me fold two questions into one here. You talked about the fact that you've come to some resolution with other governments within the United Kingdom. You point to Scotland. What is the difference then between the government in London, Westminster, and the government up in Scotland? And how far are you away from a potential deal? How big is that gulf when it comes to your negotiations with Westminster?
The negotiations with Westminster, of course, are... They offload them to the rail delivery group, which is senior managers, train up companies on Network Rail, and they prevent them from making settlements. We 2 weeks ago, we thought it was nearly there. We were lining up a proposal to take back to our members in a referendum, and all of a sudden the rug was pulled from beneath us by politicians, not from the senior management.
So how far you are now at this point, how far away are you?
Well, we're a long way away, because unless the actual boss wants to reach out and shake across the table, so to speak, we don't quite do it like that. There has to be a vote and all that. But unless they want to do that, you can't cut the deal. But we did it in Scotland. We did it in Wales. We did it with the Mayor of London over pay. Or we have our issues with him about other matters. it can be done. We do the business. We are negotiators, and we know we don't get everything we want, but what we can't do is live on thin air.
People, so you say it can be done. You say it can be done. The opposition Labour leader Keir Starmer has admitted that the nurses' demands are unaffordable. Would you recommend that your members don't vote Labour at the next election? Do you reckon you'll have an easier time with Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak?
I'm not going to get into a debate about the next general election, but I'm going to go on the track record of the current government. We've had three prime ministers, three secretaries of state for transport since this dispute started last summer. Their approach to this dispute has been appalling. They are disinterested. The first Secretary of State wouldn't meet us. The second one did. The third one now is telling us to accept below inflation pay rises whilst at the same time sitting on a profit-making process for the train operating companies. The politicians running the country at the moment are the ones we have to deal with. They are behind this dispute. They have a political agenda and they're trying to divide working people. And in our case, that's railway people. We won't allow them to do it. We have common ground with whatever unions are out there, you know, representing their members, and indeed working people out there today who may not even be in a union. We're all in this together. The government have got an agenda, and it's about driving down wages and rebalancing the economy in favour of big business and multinational companies. That's how we see it. And the evidence is we haven't had a pay rise for 3 years, but we've kept Britain moving day in, day out.
Before we let you go, if you don't get a deal, how long are you prepared to strike for?
Well, we've just had a return mandate. That means we've had another strike vote, which gives us 6 months at least to call further strike actions if need be. That takes us to next summer. We don't want to do this. We'd rather wrap this up this week. We're available to meet them. They know that. The phone hasn't rung. My general secretary and me, I've been with him this morning on a picket line, are a phone call away from negotiating. A meeting could be had. But unless the government want to do a deal and give the railway men and women in this country a fair deal, then we will continue to fight for our members, and that will mean more industrial action if need be.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and bloombergradio.com.